We are back in our Thursday series, and we'll be in it for a little while. Sometimes the summer series have a tendency to. This thing is like seriously irritating, okay? We need to get a hook for this thing. Stay. All right, good. I saw one of the videos when I was gone, brother. I think it was Brother Jim was struggling with it, but his was a user error, so. We are talking about being a disciple, what it means to be a disciple. And we're going to have a couple different thoughts. This particular section we're in right now is disciples are followers. Disciples are followers. There's the verses there. These are just the verses we've used since we started, so we will not go over them again in Matthew chapter 4. Just so we remember, very few Christians understand what a disciple even is. If a person doesn't necessarily need to even use the word disciple, I get it. But most people are happy with the name Christian, but not the lifestyle Christian. And if we live the Christian lifestyle, we're going to be a disciple. We're going to do the things we're supposed to do. A disciple is one who is more than just a Christian. In other words, more. He's not just saved. His life is matching up with what a Christian, someone who saves life should be. And too many people are just content with being saved and going to heaven, and they have no clue about living for Christ. Based on what Jesus said about being a disciple, here's a little definition. A disciple is one who puts into practice and does what Jesus says and is willing to make the sacrifices it takes to do and to be what he wants. So in this little section we've been looking at, we're noticing that disciples are followers. Everybody wants to be a Christ follower, but very few people that claim to be a Christ follower truly are. Because if you're a Christ follower, you're a disciple. And you're following Christ, and your life is about what he wants. We've talked over the last few weeks about, number one, disciples are followers on a different path. Disciples are followers without hesitation. Disciples are followers even if it means earthly loss. And about a month ago, we did number four, disciples are followers who receive benefits. Let's look at number five and hopefully number six tonight. Disciples are followers who follow closely and stay true, okay? In other words, a disciple seeks to be close to Christ. They want to, you know, what's the song? That I may know him, okay? They really want to know him, and they really want him to be a part of their life. It's kind of pictured for us here in the story of Peter. Mark chapter 14 and verse 54 says, "And Peter followed him afar off, even unto the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire." This is after Christ was arrested. Mark, a few verses down in verse 66, "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know thee, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out onto the porch, and the cock crew, like Jesus said. And a maid saw him and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied again. And a little later, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to swear, to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. So here was Peter trying to follow Jesus after he was arrested. After, by the way, he swore he would never forsake him. And what happened is he ended up denying him. Understand this: true disciples cannot successfully follow from a distance. You're never going to be a successful Christian Christ follower, whatever you want to call it, if you're trying to, you know, I want to keep a distance between me and Jesus. I want to be a Christian. I want to kind of go that path, but I don't want to go too far down the road. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be fanatical about it. There's no place for that. By the way, if you look at the text, we know Peter well. Peter was kind of quick at everything he did, right? I mean, Peter was just kind of like, Jesus walks on water, I'm going to walk on water. You know, this happens, I'm going to jump in. You know, that guy's going to arrest Jesus, I'm going to cut his ear off. I kind of like that one personally. But when Jesus said, I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be killed, and you're all going to deny me, what did Peter say? Peter jumped up and said, not me. Then Jesus kind of said, yes, you will. And Peter doubled down. Nope. All these guys, they can deny you. I will not deny you. I will die for you. And guess what happened? Jesus was arrested and he bailed. Okay? Just like Jesus predicted, just like the scripture predicted. But he probably felt some remorse after that and thought, I got to see what happens. And so he started following him, but there was a distance there. Okay, we see the distance in the fact that, you know, he didn't want to be identified with Christ. As Christian, by the way, that's a bad plan. Okay, either you're going to be all in or you're going to be all out. I'm sorry. Halfway is just as bad as no way. I'll just be real honest with you. I mean, you may look the part, you may hang around a little while, but if you're halfway, you're eventually going to be no way. That's just, it seems to be the way that it works. Most Christians are no different than Peter. They may not choose in their mind to forsake Christ completely, but they want to follow him from a distance because that's more comfortable. They may soothe their conscience, but it lacks great conviction and commitment. And by the way, that's what it takes to be the Christian God wants us to be. It takes conviction and it takes commitment. Two things that are missing when we follow from a distance. Understand that if we are comfortable with a distance between us and Christ, a difference between the kind of life we live and the kind of life that God really desires for us to live, that distance will eventually end up in a denial. So if you're a true Christian, you need to strive to stay as close to Christ as possible. How does that happen? Well, one way that happens is we stay faithful to him. Stay faithful to him. Whenever we start becoming unfaithful in some spiritual discipline, we're going to start developing a distance in our life. We're going to start developing a distance in our relationship. And that's not a good thing. How does that usually start? You know, it starts small changes. You know, being unfaithful usually isn't, here's someone that's been to church, you know, for a year straight faithfully, and then all of a sudden, they just like quit coming completely. Usually, they miss a service. And then they'll come back, and then, you know, they'll miss one, and then come a week, and then miss again. It's always small, because the devil's really wise. He's really good at getting us to take small incremental steps off the path. We need to be very careful about that. It's time for a self-evaluation. Think about this. Are there any areas of your Christianity where you have started to grow distant, where you have started to become unfaithful? Now, maybe you're newer in here and you're not tempted to become unfaithful because you've never been faithful in the first place. In other words, and I don't mean that as a slam. I mean that as you're new in your faith and you've not really got there. Well, you're striving to get there. And the way you're going to get there is by making changes and becoming faithful. But for those that maybe have been, be very careful when you start to get away from some of the areas in your life. You're starting to grow distant. You're becoming unfaithful. I think in your list there's a few things. These are just common sense things. But I'm going to tell you, it's the common sense things that cause issues. Okay? It's like, you know, we're always waiting for some horrendous sin to get somebody. No, the horrendous sin comes after you've already started messing up with some of the common things. That comes down the line. Okay? And don't, you know, I don't like the term fall into sin. No one falls into sin. There's a slow, steady process that leads them to the point where they're going to take that jump and they are going to sin. Doesn't happen overnight. So what are some of these things? And these are common sense. Usually starts with church attendance. Now, you're here on Thursday night, so I'm preaching a little bit to the choir. But a lot of people see themselves as those that follow for to flourish, understanding the importance of church problem, of church attendance, but you have no problem with missing a service every now and then. That's how it starts. Either church is important or it's not. Either church is something we need to be at or not. And by the way, as parents with our children, it's vitally important. Because you want to do a little compromise. It's just one service. Grandma Johnson's here. I don't know if there's anybody named Johnson here. Okay, you know, Aunt Lucy's here. Her last name is Fur. Lucy Fur, thank you for coming. You know, Aunt Lucy's here. Or so-and-so's having a birthday party or whatever. Listen, if it's at a church time, it's church. Okay, and you say, but it's just one time. The little ones see that, and it's like, I guess it's not really that important after all. Okay, so it's very important. Let's stay faithful in our church attendance. Because I know this, if you're sick, stay home. I don't want, you know, Pastor, I don't want to backslid. You're throwing up on the carpet. I don't want you to throw up on the carpet, okay? You want to throw up on your carpet at home? Have a good time. But you know what I'm saying? Listen, I know if I don't miss one time, I'm not going to miss 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. It shows up in our Bible reading. See, you used to be committed to it, but now you're too busy. By the way, I'm going to say this, and you already know it. Nobody's too busy to read their Bible. Nobody's too busy. Okay? Nobody says, you know what? I was too busy today to eat. By the way, maybe I'm just ignorant. I just heard this word, but I think it was on vacation. Hangry? You're angry because you're hungry. How many of you didn't hear that before? I'm thinking, there's some truth to that thing right there. Okay? My husband comes home in a bad mood. Stick a hamburger in his face. Okay? He'll be good. But you know, listen. I haven't eaten in a week because I just haven't had time to eat. Can I just tell you something? If nothing is ever made at our house, I'm going to find a way to eat, Brother Chris. I'll be good. Trust me. I'll find food because I'm hungry. Listen, reading your Bible, if it's important to you, you'll have time for it because you'll make time for it. That's just something Satan kind of throws our way. And because it doesn't, look, you know, if you don't eat, your stomach screams at you. You start getting these, like, you get hangry, okay? You know, it's like, I need something. I'm feeling it. You know, sometimes spirituality doesn't jump at you like that. Now, it's good when it does, and you will be reminded of it. The Spirit of God will remind you. But let's make sure we're reading our Bible study. Don't be content with just what you hear at church. You know, that's why I preached a whole message on it several years ago. You know, I'm not being fed. Listen, we're supposed to feed you, but that's not your main feeding. Your main feeding's at home. Okay, this is just a little supplement. This is just something a little bit over and above your normal food, right? One thing I love about vacation, my mother-in-law makes the best homemade tortillas ever. I mean, ever. And this time, she was really on fire every single day we were there. And those things are, but you know what? I can't live on that. If I lived on that, I would be 700 pounds. And I would have some bodily issues, okay? Those things, and they're not like you're thinking thin tortillas. Those things are thick. And they're like, how many of you, some of you have been to the tournament, some of you have my mother-in-law's homemade tortillas. Those things are like, as a kid, those are fire. I mean, they're great. But you can't eat that all the time. Okay, that's just like, that's a treat for us. Hey, the sermon is important, by the way. You need preaching. The Bible talks about all over the place, but you're not going to live on preaching. You better get in the Word of God yourself. Very, very important. See, what happens is, if we're not in the Bible ourselves and we're not learning the Bible, we're not gonna know what we believe, and we're not gonna truly believe what is right. You're just gonna hear something and you're gonna hear it and say, well, I believe it because I hear it from the pulpit, but because you're not reading your Bible and you're not studying it, it's not a part of who you are. And you know what's gonna happen? You're gonna back off of it. Well, you know, that's just, I just don't believe like that. Well, why don't you share from the Bible why you don't believe like that? Because you don't know. Let me give you an instance. Let's think about ladies' modesty, okay? And I'm not picking at something, but I'll just, you know, if you're in our school, we have certain rules about modesty. By the way, if you work in a ministry, we have rules about modesty. But there are two reasons we believe in ladies' modesty from the Bible. Because the Bible very clearly states that if a lady shows her thighs, that's nakedness. Read your Old Testament. Well, that's the Old Testament. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but nakedness is nakedness. Okay? And ladies, you don't understand, and I'm not preaching on modesty, and I'm trying to make a point, but maybe the car went left. But you don't understand how men are motivated. And I'll leave it at that. Go talk to your dad or something, or your husband, okay? But that's one of the reasons we believe in modesty. And the other reason we believe in modesty in ladies in the type of dress is because of distinction. Men and women's clothes are supposed to be different. There's a message from the early 70s called Unisex. And it was talking about how I'm talking about from 1970, 1971, how homosexuality is going to come in. I listened to it several years ago. Again, it's like, that was prophetical. But you know why? Because in our society now, a lot of times men wear clothes that are really feminine. You know why? Because it's been creeping in. God wants a distinction between men and women. And it's got to the point now to where there is no distinction between men and women in our society. And I really have got off on something I did not want to get off on. I wanted to do 2 points tonight. But that's part. Ladies look like ladies. I don't want my wife looking like a man. If I wanted to marry a man, I would never have wanted to. I mean, come on. And ladies, you don't want to marry. Oh, you know, my husband looks so cute in that. Stop that. You know, he looks sensitive. Well, then he needs to slap himself. But see, that's the whole point. So the point I'm making is this. Some of you, you've been in our schools and some of those things, and then all of a sudden, everything's creeping. It's creeping up. It's creeping down. It's creeping in. And, oh, I just don't see a problem with that. You can't see that from the Bible. But see, all you've done is you've just followed what the rule is. And by the way, it's not just modesty. It could be anything. But you've never looked at it from the Bible for yourself. And you're not in the Bible. And all you're trying to live on is what's behind this pulpit or what you're learning in Sunday school or something of that nature. And so it's never a part of we'll get to it in a little bit. It's never really firm in your mind. So you're very easily to push that off once you get out from with the school's rules or ministry, whatever it is. That's my point. Now, the modesty thing is still good. Okay? And we didn't get a lot of amens there. Let's move on. Maybe we've slipped in our soul winning. You know, that slip, when you start to slip in these things, that distance is going to grow. And that's the issue here. You used to pass out tracts or talk to people even at work and witness and all of these different things. And you know what happened? You quit doing that. And it's vitally important that we stay on that track. And by the way, you know, you say, you talk about that a lot because it's the Great Commission. It's everywhere in the New Testament. And it's why Jesus, we'll get to that in a couple points, wants us to be his disciple in the first place. Maybe in our service and ministry. We used to work in the nursery, on a bus route, or in the choir. You just name it. Never, now if you're new and you're here, you're growing and you're going to grow to the point where you need to get involved with serving. But some of you have been here for a while. You never just want to be to a place where you just sit. Okay? If this is your church, this is your church. Be a part of it. Okay? You'll love it so much more and you'll be so much more a part of it. But the point I'm making is if you used to do that and you've backed off, that can be an issue there. Don't back off. And by the way, some of you that haven't really backed off, maybe you're a Sunday school teacher, you still may be teaching Sunday school, but maybe you've backed off being an effective Sunday school. You don't visit anymore. You know, you're not trying to keep up with the kids, or, you know, you're on your bus route, you're unfaithful to your bus route, whatever it is. Let's keep serving. Here's one every pastor's got to throw in. Could be in your giving. You always got to throw that one, right? Giving is one of the first things to go. When giving goes, that means you got a new God in your life, or a God that's starting to take over in your life, it's money. Slay that thing. Okay? And by the way, it's a blessing. Now, I could go on and on and on, but you know the basics that you're supposed to be taking care of. The point is, when we stop doing something or start to become unfaithful, the point is, with all of that, the distance grows. By the way, all the things we mentioned, there's a lot of action items. You could do all the action items, but if you're not in your Bible and spending time with God, you're gonna struggle. That's a key component. They all gotta go together, though. The key to overcoming distance in your relationship with Christ is this. Understand what we're saying here. We need to get to the point in our lives where what we do as a Christian is done because of conviction and not convenience. That's the point. By the way, do you know, it's just people don't believe anything anymore. You know what politicians do? Oh. Now, this isn't a political thing, but if it bothers you, just deal with it. Social justice is a big thing. And by the way, the majority of the social justice stuff is just garbage anyhow. They're making something up. Okay, and I'm not ignorant. I know there's some things, but come on. They act like it's 100 years ago. But anyhow, there was one of the NFL, I believe it's owners, who was like a leader of their social justice. He threw a fundraising campaign for Trump, and all of a sudden he's a bad guy. Last time I checked, there are going to be two candidates running. Last time I checked, you know, he did win the election. Everybody's afraid, like, oh. And if you didn't vote for Trump, you can work on it later. But that's the point. The point is, we're afraid to really believe something because someone else might be upset about it. I just want a politician that gets up and says, whether you agree with me or like it, this is what I believe. Now, I don't have to agree with him, but I will admire the fact that he actually believes what he believes, even though he could be dead wrong. I don't want someone that says, well, you know, I believe this, and it's like, oh, I'm getting some pressure. I don't want that. But that's how our Christianity is now. We'll believe something until we're pushed on it. And once we're pushed on it, we back off. Look at it. It's either true in the Bible or it's not true in the Bible. If it's true in the Bible, let's just stand for it. Well, the people at work are going to make fun of me. Be nice and kind to them, but okay. You know, is it a conviction or is it a convenience? What's a conviction? Here we go. I do what I do regardless of how I feel or what others say because God says I should. Now, I'm not saying we should be knuckleheads about it. Well, you're just an idiot. Stop that. Especially with unspiritual, unsaved people. It's just, I believe this because it's in the Bible. I just don't believe the Bible. I don't, you're an idiot. Okay, well, I can't help you with that. But I still believe it. I have to believe it because the Bible says it's true. And I have no choice about that. That's very important. But you know what a convenience is? A convenience is I will do what I should unless something else comes up which gives me enough of an excuse to not to. Okay? You know how we stay close to Christ? Because the things that keep me close to Christ, that either my relationship with him or things I'm supposed to do, he said it, and I absolutely believe it, and nothing is going to push me off of it. You know, we're not being martyred. Do you understand that? Do you understand in countries, some people will be martyred for their faith? And you know, the blight of our country is Christian churches are just backpedaling on everything we believe. You know, well, I'm not sure if that's wrong or not. Just stop that. And we think by doing that we're going to attract people to Christ. It doesn't work. People aren't attracted to something that's watered down. They're attracted to something that's rock solid and we can put our life on it. As Peter stood there by the fire, thinking that he could blend in, unfortunately for him, He was noticed. They looked at him and said, hey, you kind of look like one of them. Your looks give you away. I saw you with him. And it's like, wait, you even talk like you have that accent. I saw you. You're there. Now, so Peter had an option. He was found out. He's going to have to give an answer. It's not like, I'm going to hang out there. I'm going to be quiet. No one knows anything, so I don't have to say anything. I don't have to lie. And then, you know, you're with him. Now he's got an answer. He was pushed to where he needed to either confirm he was one of Christ, or he was going to have to lie and conceal that he was one of Christ. Can I just tell you something? That's going to happen to you too. You cannot lay in the weeds. Well, I'm just going to be an incognito, and my beliefs, you know, it's just, it doesn't work that way in our society anymore. So you need to understand, do you really believe what the Bible says? Do you really believe your Christianity? And do you really believe that you're supposed to be different in this world? If you do, it's not going to be a problem for you to say, I'm not going to be involved with that. This is what the Bible says. And by the way, not mean, but say it knowing some people aren't going to like it sometimes. But we don't like that. You're going to be put in that position. So you know what the good position is? Just to say, it's who I am. The point is, you have to be solid as a Christian. We cannot be wishy-washy. We cannot seek to say, well, Jesus is okay, but I'm not going to push it. I don't want to take the flak. And by the way, I understand that. No one wants to take the flak. But it comes with the territory. There will be persecutions. We have to just, are we really going to be close to him? It doesn't work when we're trying to stay 20 feet back. That's not what God wants for us. It's so hard to follow from a distance because eventually you're going to have to make a decision as to whether you're a committed follower or a secret one. And if you're a secret follower, you say, how come some people come and they might come to church for a while and after a while they kind of float away? Because they're not willing to be committed. They're not willing to take the heat, as it were. They're not willing to stand up. They want just enough, you know, Sunday morning, I feel, you know, my conscience is okay because I've been here. That's not what, you know, Jesus didn't want to just save you. He wants to have a relationship with you. God wants you to be close to him. By the way, do you know that doesn't work in any other relationship? You know, I want to be married, but, you know, we'll just have a big distance. It's not going to work. Sounds like a good idea sometimes, but it won't work. Okay? You know, I want to have children, but, you know, I just, you know, see y'all in 20 years. Okay? You know? Hey, the kid finished high school, moved out of the house. Hey, the plan worked. Okay, good. No, relationships are built by closeness. Right? So how are we going to have a relationship with God if we don't want to be close to him? We fear being close to him because we think we're going to lose that which we really want in life. When the fact of the matter is, the opposite is true. The closer we get to God, everything we're really looking for, we will find. Now, we really don't understand. We think it's found in the tangible things, but the intangible things are found in a relationship with God. And so Peter found out the hard way. And by the way, he lived to regret it. I'll say this and we're done. I don't want to live my Christian life, and I don't want you to live your Christian life in such a way as that when you get to the end of your Christian life, that you look back and it's like, man, I wish that I'd have done this. I wish that I'd have been more faithful to God in these areas. Hey, let's just take care of that now, and we'll be all right. Let's pray.